The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus spoke to the crowd, saying, "To what will I compare this generation? Is it like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another, 'We played the flute and you did not dance. We wailed and you did not mourn.' For John came, neither eating nor drinking, and they said, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came, eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." At that time, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Is there a little reverb, or is that just what I'm hearing? No, you guys are fine out there? Okay, we're great. First, what? No? Okay, it's an echoey space. Okay, that's great. So first, a word of introduction and gratitude. My name is Kate Ryer-Walton. I serve as your campus pastor at the University of Minnesota Twin Cities in the midst of some tremendous research and a lot of learning and discovery and 55,000 undergraduates, grad students, and postdoc fellows. On behalf of them and on behalf of our board of directors, I would like to say thank you for the fundraiser that you're doing. I also know that Christ the King, through the time that I've been there for 13 years, has supported us as a congregation, and individuals here also support us on an annual basis. Students obviously aren't going to support a full-time pastor, and so it's thanks to your generosity that I'm able to be there. And it's my honor in the summer and on Sundays during the school year to travel to congregations in the Minneapolis and St. Paul area synods to say thank you and to tell you a little bit about what we're up to and what we're learning and how young adults are experiencing the transformative nature of the gospel and Christian community. And so with that, I'm going to invite us all to pray together. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God. Amen. Did our reading today feel a little bit all over the place? Did you experience that when you were listening? It made sense to all of you. Okay, we'll put you in charge next time. At first, you know, Jesus is describing children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to each other with songs that nobody understands. When they sing happy songs, nobody dances. When they play dirges, no one mourns. When John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, comes along and preaches about his repentance, his listeners say that he is demon-possessed. When Jesus comes along eating and drinking around a common table, his listeners call him a glutton and a drunkard. Nobody can catch a win, right? It is clear that in Jesus' eyes, we are missing what really matters. And so, Jesus goes on to tell us what should matter and what does matter. "Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I wonder, though, if Jesus' first century listeners were as keen on this message as we are. This is a message of great comfort to us, yes? If they were already missing the memo about John the Baptist and Jesus, would they also be confused by Jesus talking about yoke and rest in the same breath? Yokes, of course, especially at that time, were placed on animals to help farmers work their fields a bit more efficiently. The labor of the field was certainly not easy. It was not rest. So I wonder if they might have been confused. And still, Jesus tells them to learn from him that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. We will return to this puzzling gospel, but first I want to share a story with you. At LCMTC, that's what we call Lutheran Campus Ministry Twin Cities. Our students refer to themselves as LCMers. At LCM, we invest heavily in a core group of students, 18 to 25 people, who we call our servant leaders. There's a lot of other students that are involved, but this is our core community. I meet with them one-to-one. We have weekly Bible studies and discussions and leadership retreats once a semester. We equip them with skills of discernment, with language for their faith, and with the capacity to welcome and include new people. Our staff supports our leaders as they then listen for a call from God, wondering how we might be called to love the campus. And then together, we work together to put flesh on what God might be calling us to do. They all have individual responsibilities, and they make group commitments to these retreats and weekly meetings, attending worship. In short, we ask a lot of them. As I was meeting with one of our leaders this past year, he said to me, "There's so many great things about going to a school that's as large as the University of Minnesota. So many activities to get involved in, a ton of resources, and a seemingly like unlimited number of people to meet, right? It's amazing at first." He continued, but there's also an overwhelming feeling that you are just a drop in the bucket, that your presence on campus doesn't really matter. I certainly felt this. And then he continues, "But at LCM, I didn't just feel welcome, which was nice. I found a community where I was accepted for who I am, accepted and wanted just as I am, which was great. But the difference between LCM and any other space that I occupy is that I feel like I'm actually needed, like I'm an integral part of the community, and that things wouldn't be the same without me. And that matters so much to me." That's the end of his part. But I want to tell you that our leaders consistently report that the work that they do in our community and for our community is a valued break in their day. When they are serving soup or taking a first-year student out to coffee or leading worship or staffing a table at an activity fair, many of them would talk about this as their rest time in their day. Because it's unifying work, it's purposeful work, it's servant-hearted work, it is discipleship. "Come to me, you who are weary, and I will give you rest." In this lesson, Jesus is talking about discipleship as a pathway to rest and renewal, to restoration. Not only in the eternal kind of way that we often hear about as we read this passage, but in the present, in the here and now. When our care for others and the world God made, and this is a big, I want you to hear this part, when that care grows out of our grounding in grace, when it is a response to the love of God, the unconditional love of God, it can be energizing, life-affirming, and transformational work. And we can find rest in following Jesus. Which may be as confusing to us now as it was to the people who were calling Jesus a glutton and drunkard, wondering how a yoke could actually be restful. We, and I, this might be different for some of you. I am on the cusp of Gen X and millennials. So Gen Xers and all of the generations that followed have been conditioned to think of rest as those things that we might do to kind of numb out, scrolling, binging on Netflix, really whatever it is that helps you escape reality. Or maybe it's something you have to buy, like a massage or a facial. And this is not the rest that Jesus is talking about. The way of Jesus, the path that he's encouraging all who follow him to take, is about a whole way of life. It's a path of abundance and connection and healing. It's about sacrifice, but the kind of sacrifice that gives way to a sense of purpose and belonging, one that tells people that they aren't just welcome, but that they are needed, that this community and this world would not be the same without them. Come to me, you who are weary, and I will give you rest. Much ink has been spilled, and I'll talk about this a little bit later, about the mental health crisis among adolescents and young adults. More recently, the U.S. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy released an advisory against the epidemic of loneliness and isolation. This is what he's calling it, that's pervasive in our country. We collectively are not well. Now, the research says that young adults who have at least one trusted intergenerational relationship and a sense of purpose are likely to report significantly higher levels of well-being and connection. Now, there's a lot of complexities in any statistic, and we'll talk about that more later. But purpose is instrumental to well-being, right? There is some ancient wisdom in this text. And of course, simply shouting Jesus as the answer to any complex and multifaceted issue is certainly not the answer, and you're going to miss a bunch of stuff. As Christian communities, we are the living, breathing hands and feet and beating heart of Christ on this earth, right? Each of our communities, our churches, are fallible. We've made mistakes and will continue to do that. And we're people who are on a countercultural path to follow Jesus. We have a theology which names brokenness and offers resurrection promise that is hard to find outside of the Christian community. We have practices who help us remember who we are and whose we are. Practices which ground us in grace. They tell us that anything we do, that God's love is for us before and beyond anything we do and don't do. These practices bind us together in community, and they send us out into the world. And we have communities that at their best can offer connection and belonging and deep, deep rest. We have communities that depend on one another, where each member is accepted and valued, and that wouldn't be the same without any of us, without any of you. Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Friends in Christ, the love, the unconditional and expansive love that God has for the world, God also has for you. If you are longing for connection and community, maybe feeling on the margins, lonely or isolated, that love is for you. If you are tired and you just need a nap, you do not need anything else to do or to be, that love is for you. If you are longing for purpose, for a place to contribute, that love is for you. God's love is a love which does not depend on our capacity to perform or to build thriving communities or to follow Jesus in a perfect way. Instead, God's love for each of us is a grounding force, one that allows us to rest and then rise, knowing that in the rising, in the loving, in the extending, there is also healing for you, there is rest for you, and not just for you, but for your neighbors and for the world. May it be so. Amen.
My shine.